This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I begin with a story this morning that some of you, when you hear this, are going to say this to yourself, and I really mean this. That is the stupidest thing I ever heard. And yet it's a true story about how some people think. How some people think spiritually, not just intellectually. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to this story and try to see the lesson underneath it. Don't get caught up in the details of the story, because it can trip you up just like it did me the first time I read it. I said, this woman that this story is about just isn't thinking straight. But here's the story. I think it'll speak to you. It's told by Kenneth Chafin, whom I quoted last week on the message on marriage. He said, years ago, I was speaking in a small rural church out from Danville, Virginia. It was going with the young pastor and his wife to eat lunch with a woman of the church, a wealthy widow. As we were walking up on the porch, the pastor leaned over and whispered in my ear, Kenneth, whatever you do while we are there, please, don't say anything about bowling. Yeah, you heard me right. Don't say anything about bowling. Before I could even ask why, the door opened and we were ushered into her lovely home for an excellent meal and wonderful time of fellowship. My only distraction in an otherwise pleasant time was wondering why in the world the pastor had warned me not to mention bowling. As we drove away later that evening, I asked him to tell me. He related how the lady had been reared in a small mountain community where the pool hall and the bowling alley were in the same building, and it was the place where the less savory element of the community hung out. She had come to associate bowling with disreputable people. One day, in all seriousness, this woman said to her minister, I sure hope I don't live long enough to see the day when my pastor comes walking out of a bowling alley. While I did not agree with her that a moral issue was at stake in bowling or not bowling, I could not let my knowledge create in me a condescending attitude. My love for this woman as a Christian needed to take precedence over whatever superior knowledge I might have. If you came to Christ as an adult, undoubtedly, there's something in your life as an adult that you have wrestled with perhaps since coming to Christ. And get this, you've never even mentioned this to your wife or husband. But there's something you do, there's something you participate in, there are places you go, and you've wrestled. You know, now that I'm a believer in Christ, is it possible that I shouldn't be doing this or doing that or participating in that activity? I think that's normal when you come to Christ. You start evaluating what you do with your life. You start evaluating the places you go. You start evaluating what you watch with your eyes. You start evaluating how you talk to people. And Kenneth Chafin was saying, I had to make the decision not to have this condescending attitude and say, well, this woman is ignorant. But I had to respect her view and love her as a believer in Jesus Christ. You say, why are you talking about that? Because it's the exact issue that the Apostle Paul deals with in the chapter we study in 1 Corinthians today. And here's the issue. People who came to Christ in the city of Corinth had to make a decision. Do I eat meat that has been sacrificed to an idol? You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, everywhere you went, there were sacrifices given in temples, pagan temples, to idols. And in chapter 10, Paul would say they aren't idols, they're demons. It's not an idol they're sacrificing to. They're sacrificing to a demonic spirit.
Well, believe it or not, this may be one of the most important messages in the 1 Corinthians series. It's from chapter 8. It continues tomorrow. That's crosshope.org. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message from 1 Corinthians 8, the entire chapter, about meat sacrificed to idols. New Christians had the question, do I eat meat that's been offered to an idol, which Paul would say in chapter 10 was actually a demonic spirit? It was a hot-button issue in the church at Corinth. We continue talking about it today and all this week on Cross Hope.
And so a Christian came along and said, how do I participate in a feast where food is being served that was sacrificed to idols? Here's what happened. There were two groups in the church. There was the more knowledgeable group that said this, we're protected by the blood of Christ. That means nothing. There's nothing to it. It doesn't matter if it's been sacrificed to an idol or if it's been sold at Kroger. It doesn't matter where we got it. It's food. We're just going to eat it. And you know what? They were absolutely right. We'll read that later on in Corinthians. They were right. There's nothing to it. However, there were some sensitive Christians, people with a sensitive conscience who said, you know, it doesn't feel right to me to eat meat that's been offered to a demon. And there was even a fear, if you can believe this, and I can believe it, having been in places like Haiti, there was a feeling that if I eat meat that's been offered up to a demon, then somehow that demonic presence may come into my life in some shape or fashion. And so there was a fear, a legitimate fear that some people had. And here's the issue that Paul deals with. He said, look, don't be a stumbling block to people who are more sensitive about what's going on in their life. Don't be the cause of someone else's sin just because you know better. What has love got to do with it? Everything. Love trumps knowledge is what you're going to learn today. Love is more important than knowledge, as important as knowledge is. And we'll talk about that in the various areas of your life. It's in 1 Corinthians 8. We're going to do this a little differently. I'm going to read a few verses at a time, stop, and then go through the entire chapter of 13 verses. Chapter 8, exactly where we left off last week, verse 1. Paul says, now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. Would you listen to that again? The man who loves God is known by God. Verse 1, Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. What does that mean? Knowledge usually puffs up the person who possesses the knowledge. Do you remember in third and fourth grade in elementary school when somebody would come up to you in a sing-songy voice say, I know something you don't know. And there was that pride that was in the knowledge. I know, I have information. Sometimes even in a Bible study group, people will go on about what they know about so-and-so's personal life. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's a demonstration of, I have inside information on that person that you don't have. Knowledge puffs up the ego of the person possessing the knowledge, but love builds up. Love builds up. I'm going to say something you've never heard before. What your marriage needs is not more knowledge. Your marriage needs more love. Because love builds up. Your family doesn't need more knowledge. Your family needs more love. This church doesn't need more people with biblical knowledge, as important as that is. It needs people of love. Men and women who love other people. That's what builds a church up. Love edifies. Knowledge puffs up. And so if you got to choose between knowledge and love, opt for love because love trumps knowledge. I really believe that.
Well, when I gave this message some time ago, a teacher connected with Cincinnati Christian University, a local Bible college and seminary, said, Randy, I think this may be the most important message of the series. It continues tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
I didn't comment on this verse in the first service, but I do want to talk about verse 3 that says, the man who loves God is known by God. God knows the people who love him. Maybe that's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the greatest commandment because we know the people that love us. Let's be honest for a minute. You know the people you work with, the people in your family and in your extended family that really care about you. You have a sense. I think when you work with people, you have a sense when you're around people, even in your own family and extended family, you know the people that really care about what your welfare and your well-being. And so you know the people that love you. And God is the same way. God knows the man, the woman, the young person who loves him with all their hearts, with all their souls, and with all our minds. So then about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everybody knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. I want to talk about example for a minute, because Paul's talking about example. Some people, to see another person eating meat sacrificed to an idol would be a real hassle for them, a real hang-up, a stumbling block, something they would trip over. And so Paul is saying, be careful. In fact, he'll say it stronger in the next section about don't let your liberty and your knowledge be an excuse to cause somebody else to stumble. Somebody's pointing their finger at you and watching what you're doing as a Christian. And you know what? You don't even know it. There may be a child who's observing your language. There's a child observing your behavior. There's a child observing the way you treat your wife or husband. There's a child watching something. There's a neighbor watching you. There's a coworker watching you. And all I'm saying is this, people do watch our behavior. I'm saying simply this, be aware of the fact that you carry the name of Christ. And for some people, that's a big deal who aren't Christians. For some people who aren't believers, it's a big deal that you carry the name of Christ and they observe how you conduct your life. Let's bring up the next section starting at verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. What a statement. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. What would happen if a man in this room today read that last verse 13 and said, I don't want to do anything to cause my brother in Christ to stumble, so therefore there's something in my life, and they identify what it is right now in their minds and say, I will never do this again.
Well, did you know you can find our program on iTunes? Just put the word CrossHope in the search line of iTunes and they'll connect you with our podcast. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org. Well, if you've been following this message at all this week, you know that I mentioned once or twice that someone told me they thought this was the most important message in the series from 1 Corinthians. It's a message that I really didn't think much of other than giving it on the Sunday I gave it from 1 Corinthians 8 about eating meat sacrificed to idols. But this person who was a teacher said, this matters because it has to do with example. Of people looking at their example to their children, to their families, to their fellow workers, to their neighbors. And it speaks volumes to them about how people watch what we do and what, frankly, what we don't do. How we talk, how we don't talk. How we think and how we don't think. Listen to part 4 today and let it speak to you as we move toward the conclusion of this message from 1 Corinthians 8 tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org.
What would happen if a man in this room today read that last verse 13 and said, I don't want to do anything to cause my brother in Christ to stumble, so therefore, there's something in my life, and they identify what it is right now in their minds and say, I will never do this again. I will never do this again if it causes my brother or sister to stumble. What would happen to a parent today, a wife or mother, who said, because I could be a stumbling block to one of my children, I will never do this again because it might cause one of my children to stumble. It could have a powerful impact on somebody's life in a powerful way today. I really believe that. I want to tell you a story that I think touched a lot of people, because this is an experience by a man by the name of Don McKenzie that I could relate to, because I've had this kind of thing happen. This very similar thing happened to me at a hospital. Don's a minister, and he writes this. I recall one night very late in the evening when I was called to the hospital. As I was walking down this semi-dark hall with no people around, a man suddenly ran out of one of the patient rooms. He ran up to me. I had never seen him before in my life. And he said to me with joy in his face, "She's going to make it. My wife is going to make it. She's going to live." And then he made his way down the hall. I've never seen that man before or since. I do not know who he was talking about. I'm assuming it was someone very near, obviously his wife, he just received good news about. He could not wait to share it. He didn't have to know the person with whom he shared it. It just flowed from his life and from his heart because he had received the good news. And good news is to be shared. Good news is to be shared. What does that have to do with you and me? We've been given good news. And it's that our sins are forgiven in Christ. Get this. You don't have to know anybody you talk to about that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you must know someone for at least 6 months before you share the gospel with them. Nowhere does it say this person must be a relative, they must be a close working associate with you, they must be one of your neighbors, just like that man running out of the hospital room and grabbing Don McKenzie because he was the first person he saw. She's going to make it. She's going to make it. My wife is going to live. So it is that we share the good news of what Christ has done in our lives.
Well, I do want you to hear the conclusion of this message from 1 Corinthians 8 tomorrow. I hope you know that you can go to our website and find a multitude of things. You can listen to past messages you've heard on Cross Hope or you've missed on Cross Hope. I'd like for you to look at visual stories at one of the most popular parts of our website at crosshope.org. Tune in tomorrow to hear the conclusion of this message from 1 Corinthians 8. Again, our website is crosshope.org. Well, today we conclude a message from 1 Corinthians 8 dealing with a sensitive issue in the early church where people wondered, I'm a Christian. Do I eat meat that's been sacrificed to an idol? Which Paul would say in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians was actually a demonic spirit. There were two schools of thought. There were those who said, it's not an issue because I'm a believer, I'm protected by the blood of Christ, and you know what? They were right. But there were sensitive believers who had trouble with it, and they were right because of their sensitivity to eating meat that had been sacrificed to an idol. Listen to the conclusion of the message today.
I closed the first service with this story. It's an interesting story because it's not a Christian story. I got it out of a sales magazine, of all things, an old sales magazine that someone gave to me, a sales motivation type thing. It was about a diamond dealer in New York City who ran one of the top diamond marts in all of New York City. He had a special diamond that was probably worth tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he knew that it would appeal to a certain diamond merchant in Holland. So he makes a long-distance call to the Netherlands and calls this man that he knows might be a potential customer and says, why don't you fly to New York, and I want to show you a stone that we've got. I think you'll be interested in it. So the man buys a ticket, flies to New York City, and the diamond owner, the diamond merchant in New York, assigns his top salesman, the guy that understands diamonds better than anyone else, to be the one to show this Dutch merchant the diamond. His salesman, his top salesman, the most knowledgeable salesman, explains all the intricate details, the technical details of why this diamond is so valuable. And you see the different facets here. And he was explaining all the technical details of the stone. And the man, after he listened, said, I don't think I'm interested. I don't think I really want to buy that diamond. Well, the owner of the diamond mart was 10 or 12 feet away and overheard the conversation. He said, would you let me present the diamond to you myself? He said, sure, go ahead. The owner spent 20 minutes talking about how beautiful the stone was, how much he admired this diamond because of this, and pointed out different things that the technical description didn't describe. And after 20 minutes of listening to the owner, he said, I'll take it. And then later, this merchant from Holland said, "Why did I refuse to buy it from your top salesman, but I bought it from you?" And the man said, "I'll tell you why. He has the knowledge. He has the technical know-how. He understands how diamonds are cut and how diamonds are created, so to speak, in terms of when we get a hold of them. He understands all of that. The difference is this. I love diamonds. I love diamonds. I'm not trying to make you a lover of diamonds. I do want to make you a lover of the Lord. Tell me what you love in life, and I'll tell you what you sell. And you know what I mean. Tell me what you love in life, and I'll tell you what you sell to the people around you. You tell me what you love, and I'll tell you what you're excited about. Tell me what you love, and I'll tell you what you radiate out of your life." Today, the message is this: don't be a stumbling block. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Love trumps knowledge. And when you love Jesus Christ and when you love people, you're interested in your witness and your example. And yes, it does make a difference how you conduct your life. Why? Because of the rules. It has nothing to do with the rules. It has everything to do with the Christ. It has everything to do with your love for the Lord and your love for people. I'm not asking you, and I'm not giving you a legalistic set of instructions to follow, and you must do this, and you must not do this, and you mustn't hang out with people who do this or do that. That's not the issue today. Decide. What I'm going to do with my life is not going to be a stumbling block. Why? Because of legalism? No, because of love.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.